the Lord's joy. That means it's supernatural joy. It means it's divine joy. It means that Christianity is not only full of joy, it is joyous. Amen? Oh, listen. We have the joy of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is your strength right this minute.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, hello everyone, and thank you for beginning your week with us. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill begins a series from the New Testament epistle of Philippians. This is a great study, and I know you'll be encouraged and refreshed as you take this journey through Philippians along with Pastor Bill. Now, let's get started and join Pastor for this first message, Oh, What Joy.
Amen. Please turn in your Bibles to the most joyous book that is in the entire New Testament, and that is Philippians that Paul has penned. As you turn to Philippians, it's right after Ephesians as we start this new book. Let me just read to you the first 8 verses. Paul writes as he greets the people of Philippi, he says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and the deacons, grace to you, peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all what? Say it with me. Joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you with all the affection of Jesus Christ. And the church says, amen. Philippians is an incredible study. It's a living, truthful word of God. Amen. The epistle is filled with joy. That's it. I mean, matter of fact, most people just call Philippians the epistle of joy. And I don't know how joyful, I don't know why Paul could be so joyful. I mean, how would you pen a letter in prison? Amen. He's in prison when he penned this. There in Rome, he's chained to a guard. And yet, with all that being said, this letter is not only full of his love, full of his thanks, full of his appreciation to all the people and the love and the joy that they have shown him. Paul is so affectionate and so tender and intimate with the church at Philippi. He is deeply in love with them, and they are deeply in love with Paul. Matter of fact, let's just look at something. Turn to chapter 4 and just look at verse 1 with me as Paul pens this and writes this. He says, therefore, my beloved, you know, whenever I call you loved ones, that's where that word comes from. You're beloved of God. You are the loved ones. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, you're my joy, my crown. So stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Anybody here ever sent me an email like that? Has anybody ever sent you an email like that? Man, listen, those are beautiful words. Do you know there's not really any correction, any rebuke, just a little bit maybe, in these 4 chapters except for 2 women? And that's over in chapter 4 because they're at odds with one another. And Paul tells them, you guys be of the same mind. Now, we know if it's 2 women and they need to be of the same mind and they're arguing, that's going to take a miracle of God. Amen? It's a joke, Mario. It's a joke. It didn't say it was any good. Now, with all that being said, what's exciting about this epistle, this is our introduction, if you will, is that this letter was sent to the first church that was planted in Europe by the Apostle Paul. Man, and that is so exciting. In other words, it was the beginning, the very beginning of Christian Europe. It occurred during Paul's second missionary journey. Now listen carefully. Let me set this up for you. You remember what happens in Acts chapter 15. We have the Jerusalem Council. And then Paul, after that, Paul talks in 16. He talks to Mark and Silas and Timothy's with him and other people. And he tells Barnabas, who's a prophet and an apostle as well, a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit and a lover of God. He says, listen, let's go back and let's visit all of the churches that we planted and see how our brethren doing on the first missionary journey, in other words. So Barnabas goes, man, that's a great idea, but you know what happens next, right? Barnabas and Paul get into a horrible argument because Paul doesn't want Mark to go with him. Remember what Mark did during the first missionary journey? He went back home to mama, okay? Is that okay to say? All right. And so Paul was upset about it, you know? And so a division occurred, and man, it was a heated division. So Barnabas takes Mark, Barnabas, of course, from Cyprus, and Mark was actually, I believe, his nephew, takes Mark and goes with him, but Paul chose Silas. So here they go, and they take off together. Timothy is with them, and what happens? They go, they're trying to figure the direction they need to go, and the Holy Spirit keeps stopping them from going into different nations, except whenever God gives Paul a vision of the man of Macedonia. Macedonia is modern-day Greece, if you will. And so, come over and help us. Not help me. He says, come over and help us, meaning all of Europe. See, Paul, then, they are going to set foot. They're going to leave all this behind, and for the first time, they're going to set foot in Europe, in Greece. They're in Macedonia. They're in Philippi. And they're going to find a woman there by the river. Her name is Lydia. She's a seller of purple. She's from Thyatira. She's a very wealthy woman. And it says that while they were down at the river and they were praying, Paul started speaking the word of God, and she gets saved. She gets baptized. Man, the whole family gets baptized. And then the next step was, remember, but Paul goes into there, and there's a little girl. She's a slave girl, and she's demon-possessed. She has a spirit of divination. She tells people's fortunes. And she kept bugging Paul, and what did Paul do? He cast the devil out of her, amen? And then what happened? The girl's owners, who brought, the girl brought them much profit, it says that they got mad at Paul and Silas. They put him in prison, and they put him in the dungeon. They put him in stocks, the jailer did, remember? Amen? And there they were at midnight singing, you know, the midnight hour or whatever, and as they were being beaten and so forth. And then the earthquake came, and the jailer gets saved, and all the family. And do you see what I'm talking about? Well, that became the Philippian church. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Do you ever notice how God takes the day of small beginnings and makes them so big? I mean, we could go back to us. Good grief. I mean, before the pandemic, who knows how many people belong to Calvary Chapel? You know, but we came from just a few people all those 28 years ago, just a few people. And look what God has done. So Paul is writing this letter, and the key word, without a doubt, the theme is joy. Say that word with me. Joy. What a great word. In other words, the joy of serving Jesus Christ. Paul uses the word joy 5 times. The verb to rejoice, he uses 11 times. And the word joy is, in the Greek, is chara. What a great word. Now, listen to me carefully. Some of you don't have any joy this morning. Many of you listening live, your joy has been crushed. It's still with you, still belongs to you, but it's been taken. And listen, this morning, I want you to listen carefully. These 4 chapters, it's almost uncanny the way God does things. I mean, what a perfect book for us to start 2021. It's all about joy. It's all about being joyous and rejoicing with the Lord. Amen? Matter of fact, it's also just perfect timing in light of the pandemic, isn't it? In light of Washington, D.C., in light of the Capitol, the destruction, in light of all the hate, the anger, the bitterness, whatever's happening in this crazy country. Listen, we need joy right now. You remember when Nehemiah, remember how they built the wall in Nehemiah's time, built the wall in 42 days, and they were rejoicing, and all of a sudden they found the word of God in Nehemiah, wherever it was, I forget now, in the temple. They found that it was ungodly. They started reading the word of God in Nehemiah chapter 8. And when the people heard the word of God, they started weeping because they had not heard God's word in so long. And Nehemiah and Ezra, they're there, And they look at them in Nehemiah 8:10 and they go, listen, do not sorrow, do not mourn. And then they say this, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. Listen to me now. The joy, whose joy is it? The Lord's joy. That means it's supernatural joy. It means it's divine joy. It means that Christianity is not only full of joy, it is joyous. Amen? Oh, listen. We have the joy of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is your strength right this minute, right now. You see, when you have God's joy, and you know it's working in you, and you know it's there, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through in your life, loved one, listen, things turn out differently. See, there can be no joy without God's truthful word, and there certainly cannot be any joy in a person's life apart from Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible tells us this about joy. David writes in Psalm 16:11, he says, you will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. A joy that never fades away. A joy that is forever and ever and ever. Romans 14:27 talks about the joy that we have in the Holy Spirit. Man, I think about all the good things from God, and you're going, maybe you're saying, Bill, you don't understand. I'm going through it. I'm going through the worst time of my life. I'm having problems that I can't even talk about or share, the things that might be coming. And these trials are killing me. What does the Bible say about trials? In James 1:2, it says, brethren, count it all joy. How many of you did that this week? You went through a horrible trial. I count that joy, man. He says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, various circumstances, and so forth. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, and joy. We have that living in us right this minute. David writes in Psalm 51:12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. That is my prayer for all of us. You that are present, you that are home, all that are listening live, that is my prayer. If you need your joy restored, you have it, but if you need it restored, man, I pray that it is. And I want to get to tell you how you can have this joy. I want you to see the divine outline of these four chapters, and the outline is so incredible. Chapter 1, okay, talking about having the joy of the Lord. Chapter 1, Christ your life, or Christ our life. What did Paul write in Philippians 1:21? He says, for me to live is money. For me to live is fortune and fame. For me to live is have power. Did he say that? No, he said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So chapter 1, Christ our life. Chapter 2 is going to be Christ our example. Philippians 2:5, let this mind, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. In chapter 3, it's going to be Christ our goal. And the chapter be what, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 20, or verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And then in chapter 4, it'll be Christ our strength. And that's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? Did you get that? Write it down. Because that right there is how you're going to walk in this joy. Beginning in verse 1, let's look at the joy that God has given unto us. Paul writes and he says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. Now listen, did you notice that Paul, he didn't say, Paul, an apostle by the will of God? Did you notice he did not mention his apostolic authority? And he doesn't need to, because the church loves him, and he loves the church, and there's not any correction at all, hardly, in this epistle. And so he's intimate. He knows them. He says, Paul and Timothy. Timothy, the word means, his name means he who honors God. Paul and Timothy, the dynamic duo, amen? What a great team. Timothy's half Gentile, half Jew, and of course, Paul is all Jew. Now listen carefully. He says this, I am a bondservant. I don't know why we don't use that word. I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Of my own volition, I've given up all my rights. I've given up all my plans. I've given up everything that I please him, that I live for him. Amen? I have no rights of my own. I don't want any rights of my own. In other words, a bondservant is a person whose will is swallowed up into the will of another, and that is Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says, for me to live is not Paul. For me to live is Christ. Who are you living for? Do you have the joy of the Lord this morning? Think about that for a minute. You have it, but is it exhibited in your life? And I can promise you, there are many believers today, and you know why they don't have the joy of the Lord? It's because they don't want to do the will of God. Amen? Let me ask you a question. What was Paul's name before he became Paul? Saul. Saul of Tarsus. Saul was just a happy guy, wasn't he? Was he an angry man? He attacked the church like a wild animal. He put women and children in prison. He made people recant the Lord Jesus Christ. He even had people put to death. Think about that. He was a Pharisee. That's a strictest order. He was a miserable person, but you know why? Like Christians today, they think they can keep the law. You can't keep the law. You think you can be good enough. You can't be good enough. Only Jesus is good enough. There is no one good, no one who doeth good, no, not one. Thank God we're in the one who doeth good. Amen? We're in Christ Jesus. Man, we're not under the law. We're under grace. That doesn't mean we go live any way we want to. We live for Christ. That's where the joy comes from. If you become a bondservant, if you just say, Lord, it's not my will anymore. It's what do you want for me? What is your plan for me? I tell you what, you'll be on the road to having joy in your life like never before. It's a sad thing when I hear a believer say, I just don't have any joy serving Jesus Christ anymore. I mean, it's like Billy Sunday said, I forget exactly, but he said something like, he said, if your Christianity isn't joyous, it had to have leaked out someplace, you know? Well, we need to put a stopper in it so that joy remains, amen? Now, he says to all the saints, so it's addressed not to the world, it's addressed to all the saints, watch this, not in Philippi, he doesn't preface it that way. He says to all the saints in whom? In Christ Jesus. Now, they're located in Philippi, and he says, and with the bishops. You know what a bishop is? That Greek word is episkopos. It means elder, pastor, whatever. Episkopos means overseer, or we get our word telescope. That's what elders and pastors do. They're looking at you, man. No. You know, and it says, with the bishops and with the, what, deacons. Diakonos is the Greek word. It means a servant, okay? It really, that word diakonos means one who raises the dust. Don't you like that? So the next time you see one of the deacons out in front, just say, I know what you do. You raise the dust. What does that mean? It means they are workers. Amen? They're working, and they work so hard, they raise the dust. Thank God for our deacons. Amen? But let me say something about that word bishop. It's bishops plural, by the way. Now, it's very important because today and I'm not being critical of anyone, but today we have bishops that are over like 5 churches or 10 or whatever. Do you know that that's foreign to the Word of God? That's not in the New Testament, loved one. Okay, just remember that just something to think about. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The source of all grace, the unmerited favor of God, the source of peace that we have with God, the source is from God our Father. Let me ask you a question. It has become so easy for the church to say, well, God is my Father. And it's like you're just kicking a can down the road when you say it. It's like, oh, yeah, God is my Father. Woe is me. You know, do you really know God as your Father? Not as a theological concept. I don't mean that. I know it doctrinally. I'm not talking about a doctrine. Do you know that God really is your Abba Father? Listen, God Almighty, the creator of all things, he adopted you. And if he adopted you, he can't unadopt you because God cannot lie. Do you understand me? I'm going to go to this side, Mario. Y'all are just wanting it to snow or something. Come on. Listen, God is our Father. The creator, the sustainer of everything that is in existence, he is our Father. We should be the most joyous people in all of the world. And you know something? grace, the grace that God gives. You know why I'm so thankful for God's grace? Because I've learned after all these years that I can never exhaust the grace of God. I can never exhaust. It's eternal. It is forever. It's limitless, the grace of the living God. And I say, oh God, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then look at this, verse 3. This is incredible. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. I want you to remember that when Paul the Apostle penned these words, he was in a cell in Rome. He was chained to a guard. And I'm thinking, if that was me, and plus he was facing possible execution, okay? I mean, he's penning this letter. What would you think about? You know what I mean? Have you ever been behind bars? Probably 90% of this church and knowing us, we're kind of the low life, right? No, I'm just joking. I'm joking. What would you think about? Get me out of here. Amen? No, he says, oh, listen, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. Listen, Paul doesn't write, yeah, I remember Philippi. I remember that when the Holy Spirit gave me the vision of the man of Macedonia. Please come over here and help us. And we did. And I remember what happened. I remember how Silas and I, we were illegally arrested. Paul was a Roman citizen. Macedonia, Philippi was a Roman colony, okay? You can't do that to a Roman citizen. But they did it to Paul. And they took Paul and Silas and they put them in chains. They put them in a dungeon, which the lowest part, which was a sewer. It was no light in there at all. They put them in stocks where they stretched their hands out like this and their feet, and then they beat them unmercifully upon the back. If that would have been me, that's what I would have remembered. Why did I ever go to Philippi? Are you with me? But Paul, I look at this, and he says, no. He says, every time I think of Lydia down by the riverside, the first time I laid eyes upon her, there the seller of purple, when she heard the word of God and gave her life to Jesus Christ and then all of her family. And then I remember how she begged me and Silas and Timothy and probably Luke was with them as well to come into my home. He says, I remember the Philippian jailer, how, you know, the guy who beat me, and I remember how he was going to take his own life because of the earthquake, remember, and all of that. And Paul said, oh, don't take your life. He says, all the prisoners are here. And then the jailer came and fell at his feet and said, oh, what must I do to be saved? And he says, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. See, that's what Paul was thinking of. He said, oh, listen, when I remember all of you, I thank God. I want you to listen to me now. If this church, if every church, but we're speaking here, if this church, man, if you would do that right there, if you would start thanking God for people at Calvary Chapel, joy would start flowing out of you like never before. Listen, we need one another. We need to help one another. We need to love one another. Amen? All of us, we need to stand together as one man, one spirit, strong in the Lord Almighty, God Almighty. Loved one, listen, what would happen if every time you thought about someone at Calvary Chapel that you stopped and you gave thanks to God for them? In other words, Mario, there's Mario, there's Ron. Every time I think of you, every time I think of you, I go, oh God, here's Mario. No, every time I think of you, it makes me want to go before the throne of grace with a facial expression and a heart expression of joy to God for them. Are you with me? Do you do that? That's what we must do. Listen, this nation is in trouble, but the church is not in trouble. And if we would do these things right here, oh, listen, every time you thought of someone in the body, if you responded like Paul did, look what he did, verse 4. He uses the word, let me go back. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Here it comes. Always, that word literally means persistent, never stopping prayer. Always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all. He's a Texan. For you all, how? Say it. With joy. Say it again. With joy. Oh, listen, whenever you pray for other people, do you pray with joy? Think about that. With joy. Oh, Lord, that's my brother. That is my sister. well, they're in trouble. You know what? They need it. That's when we need to pray for them.
Unfortunately, we are out of time for today, but you can hear the remainder of this message on tomorrow's program, and we hope you'll tune in once again. Thanks so much for listening to Love Never Fails. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.